In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, open thou the eyes of my heart, that I may hear thy word, and understand, and do thy will, for I am a sojourner upon the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, but open mine eyes, that I may perceive the wonders of thy law. Speak unto me the hidden and secret things of thy wisdom. On thee do I set my hope, O my God, that thou shalt enlighten my mind and understanding with the light of thy knowledge, not only to cherish those things which are written, but to do them, that in reading the lives and sayings of the saints I may not sin, but that such may serve for my restoration, enlightenment, and sanctification, for the salvation of my soul, and the inheritance of life everlasting. For thou art the enlightenment of those who lie in darkness, and from thee cometh every good deed and every gift. Amen. Today is October 15th, 2024. Actually, we're just past midnight, so that was stretching the truth by about 12. For our scripture readings, we have Ephesians and Luke, two sections from those books. And for our readings from the lives of the saints, we have the Venerable Euthymius, the New of Thessalonica, and Monk of Mount Athos, Martyr Lucian, the Presbyter of Antioch, and St. John, Bishop of Suzdal. I haven't checked the length on those, so this might actually be a really short one if they're short. Or it might be a long one if we hit a 45-minute reading. I'm not sure. It'll be a surprise. Starting with Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 19, through chapter 3, verse 7. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. On to Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." Unto our first saint, Venerable Euthymius, the New of Thessalonica and Monk of Mount Athos. Saint Euthymius, the New of Thessalonica and Mount Athos, in the world was named Nicetas, and he was a native of the city of Ancyra in Galatia. His parents, Epiphanius and Anna, led virtuous Christian lives, and from childhood their son was meek, pious, and obedient. At age 7 he was left fatherless, and he soon became the sole support of his mother in all matters. Having entered military service, Nicetas married on the insistence of his mother. After the birth of a daughter, he secretly left home in order to enter a monastery. For 15 years the Venerable Euthymius lived the ascetic life on Mount Olympus, where he learned monastic deeds from the elders. The monk went to resettle on Mount Athos. On the way, he learned that his mother and wife were in good health. He informed them that he had become a monk, and he sent them across, calling on them to follow his example. On Mount Athos he was tonsured into the great schema, and lived for 3 years in a cave in total silence, struggling with temptations. Saint Euthymios also lived for a long time as a stylite, not far from Thessalonica, instructing those coming to him for advice and healing the sick. The monk cleansed his mind and heart to such an extent that he was granted divine visions and revelations. At the command of the Lord, Saint Euthymios founded two monasteries in 863 on Mount Peristeros, not far from Thessalonica, which he guided for 14 years, with the rank of deacon. In one of these, his wife and mother received monastic tonsure. Before his death, he settled on Hira, an island of Mount Athos, where he reposed in 898. His relics were transferred to Thessalonica. Saint Euthymios is called the New to distinguish him from Saint Euthymios the Great, January 20th. On to Martyr Lucian, the presbyter of Antioch. This one's a little longer. The hero martyr Lucian, presbyter of Antioch, was born in the Syrian city of Samosata. At 12 years of age, he was left orphaned. Lucian distributed his possessions to the poor and went to the city of Edessa to the confessor, Macarius, under the guidance of whom he diligently read Holy Scripture and learned the ascetic life. For his pious and zealous spreading of Christianity among the Jews and pagans, Lucian was made a presbyter. In Antioch, Saint Lucian opened a school where many students gathered. He taught them how to understand the Holy Scriptures and how to live a virtuous life. Saint Lucian occupied himself with teaching, and he corrected the Greek text of the Septuagint, which had been corrupted in many places by copyists and by heretics who deliberately distorted it in order to support their false teachings. The entire Greek text of the Bible which he corrected was hidden in a wall at the time of his confession of Christ, and it was found during the lifetime of Saint Constantine the Great. During the persecution of Diocletian, Saint Lucian was arrested and was sent to prison in Nicomedia, where for 9 years he encouraged other Christians with him to remain steadfast in their confession of Christ, urging them not to fear tortures or death. Saint Lucian died in prison from many terrible tortures and from hunger. Before his death, he wished to partake of the holy mysteries of Christ on the Feast of Theophany. Certain Christians who visited him brought bread and wine for the Eucharist. The hero martyr, bound by chains and lying on a bed of sharp potsherds, was compelled to offer the bloodless sacrifice upon his chest, and all the Christians there in prison received communion. The next day, the emperor sent people to see if the saint was still alive. Saint Lucian said 3 times, "I am a Christian," then surrendered his soul to God. The body of the holy martyr was thrown into the sea, but after 30 days, dolphins brought it to shore. Believers reverently buried the body of the much-suffering Saint Lucian. Saint Lucian was originally commemorated on January the 7th, the day of his death. Later, when the celebration of the Synaxis of Saint John the Baptist was appointed for this day, the feast of Saint Lucian was transferred to October the 15th. The October date may be associated with the dedication of a church which was built in Antioch by Saint Helen over Saint Lucian's holy relics. Although he was only a priest, sometimes Saint Lucian is depicted in the vestments of a bishop. The Stroganov Guide for Iconographers was published in Russia in 1869, based on a 1606 manuscript. There, Saint Lucian is depicted wearing a phalanion and holding a gospel. He does not wear the omophorion of a bishop, however. Another handbook, the Litsevoy Podlinnik, states Saint Lucian is to be depicted with the omophorion. It may be that the Russians thought of Saint Lucian as a bishop because of his importance to the church, and so that is how they depicted him. Similarly, Saint Charalampos is depicted as a priest in Greek icons and as a bishop in Russian icons. And our final one, shortest of them all, Saint John, Bishop of Suzdal. Saint John, Bishop of Suzdal, entered one of the monasteries of Suzdal while a youth, For his virtuous and humble life, the saint was made the first bishop of Suzdal and Nizhgorod in 1350. Bishop John merited a great mercy of God. Prince Boris of Suzdal saw how an angel of God attended the saint during the divine liturgy. Saint John was known for his love towards the destitute and the sick. He interceded for the poor before the princes to lower their taxes. He also built poor houses and hospices for the sick. The saint was very concerned about enlightening the pagan Mordvians with the Christian faith. After the annexation of Suzdal to the Moscow diocese, Saint John took the monastic schema and withdrew to the Bogoliub monastery. He lived there in seclusion and died in peace. Numerous miracles took place at his grave. And that's where we're going to wrap it up today. Thank you for tuning in, and all glory to God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.